All right, here we are. Today's Sunday. I don't know what the date is. It's sometime in April.
It's April the 23rd. It's Andrea's birthday.
It's April 23rd, Andrea's birthday. Tom almost told us which one, but we're not going to say that on
the air. That's right.
Happy birthday to Andrea. This is a unique podcast. We've already had about half of it, and we forgot to record it, so we're going to start again.
And Michael is on the lake down in Florida with his wife, and they are doing some fishing, getting ready for our fish fry that we're supposed to have next month. So,
yes. Michael, where are you located at in this world?
We're in what's the name of this road?
You don't have to tell us the room number or anything.
Canham. We're on Canham Lane down here at Dead Lake, which is attached to Crescent Lake.
Okay.
Down here by
Bunnell.
That creek.
Bull Creek.
Okay.
Bull Creek. I don't think I've ever been there, but I feel like I've been up that creek before.
Yeah, without a paddle.
Couple of times.
Yeah, but we're down here. We're on our second year anniversary, which is tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
She survived 2 years with me.
Yes. Yes, she needs some kind of an award.
But not right now. We're resting. We're at Neil Griffin's house down here. Okay. And
you have done some fishing. We've already talked about it, but we're going to talk about it again. The scoreboard, as you report, the scoreboard right now is 3-0. But
that's right.
But
no, she got one mudfish to the boat. Sorry.
A mudfish. Okay, so probably in the weight, she's probably ahead of you. I don't know.
No.
In the cooler.
The speck that I caught was bigger than that mudfish.
Okay.
I'm telling you.
All right.
How many fish are in the cooler?
Two.
I knew we wasn't counting all of them. That's how fishermen think. Yeah. We're thinking.
I throwed the first bluegill back because he wasn't bigger than my hand.
Uh-huh. So you don't count him in the actual count.
Tally.
Because you didn't count the mudfish, so you can't count it.
Okay.
So we're up 2-0.
2-0.
Okay.
Is the official scoreboard. As Larry Munson, you
said. So many rules around here.
Dixie Crystal Sugar scoreboard. Michael's up 2-0.
And Chase Elliott's winning the race right now. So.
What's up, Chase? Yo, I talked to a guy. This has nothing to do with anything, but I had a beekeeper call me this week, and the name he gave me was Billy Farmer. Okay, and when I got him on the phone, he sounded just like Billy Elliott. I mean, he had that North Georgia drawl. I love to hear it. And I said, man, has anybody ever asked you or told you that you sound like Billy Elliott on the phone? And he said, no. I said, is this Billy Elliott? He said, no. I said, are you sure? I said, because Billy Farmer would be a good
alias.
Code. Right.
Yeah,
alias.
Billy Farmer. And I said, I'm going to be upset when my inspector calls me back and say, hey, you sent me to Bill Elliott's house to do a bee inspection. I said, because I want to go. If you are Bill Elliott, tell me so I can go.
Yeah.
He didn't tell me that.
Wow.
The things I see is crazy.
That's right.
It's crazy. So we have Michael in Florida on the telephone telling us about the fishing trip. So, Keith, what are we... Our fishing trip, our fish fry.
Yes.
Okay. When is that? Have we set a date for that?
The fish fry is May. I gotta look.
It's not the weekend of the 6th.
No,
because we have a Austin Patterson.
It's on over. In May.
Okay. So this weekend in the family, while Keith's looking that up, we have a new cousin. Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. In the Lydia Lee tribe, Tyler Harrelson is a daddy again.
Yep.
This is third daughter.
Yep. That boy's putting out some girls, ain't he?
I know, right? And they're pretty. They're beautiful girls.
Yes.
I love them.
It looks, if I've got my date right, it's going to be May the 20th.
All right, so we're shooting for a fish fry here at the church, May the 20th.
That's correct. Okay. And let me look again. Yeah, and we're going to do a joint. It's going to be with a joint endeavor.
No, we don't do that.
The pastors.
we don't do joints on our podcast, Keith.
Well, when I say who it is, it's also going to be the sheriff's department. So, okay. No,
it's a collaboration.
It's a collaboration. There you go. That's a better. But yeah, we're the sheriff and the department have really asked the leaders in the churches in our community to start praying and helping to intercede for our county. Because of drug epidemics. And I said, well, evidently, since the meeting that got 26 churches together, I think in the last 2 weeks, I've probably seen 15 or 20 arrests for drugs. So the enemy's working, but we're trying to work harder. And this is going to be a collaborative. We were talking about doing an outreach and doing a fish fry. And I talked to the chaplain for the sheriff's office, Jason Long. And he said, we were talking about doing something in May. And so the goal is just to have community events where we can discuss stuff. We can all get on the same page. But mainly to lift our county up. And encourage one another. So that's what we're doing. Like I say, we're shooting for 75 to 100 people. And we may have to pray for a miracle for the Lord to multiply the fish and the bread. But we've never had anybody leave anything we've done hungry.
Not yet.
Not yet. So we're going to keep the faith that's going to be true in this situation too.
And Michael, Jesus said to throw the net to the other side of the boat. So tomorrow or this afternoon, when the wind lays down a little bit, try the other side of the boat just a little bit.
All right.
Yeah.
You know, I've been working on both sides of the boat.
I know you have.
And I even thanked him for that biggest speck once it hit the boat.
Yeah.
Because that was a good one.
Yeah. Well, and we're kidding. The truth is, we're tickled that you and Dixie are getting a chance to get away and enjoy being together and enjoy your second anniversary. Whether you catch fish or not, we know that. That's not even the point.
Right? No.
Our fishing trips are not about that.
Right. Well, I mean, we left Friday and went down to Daytona to the beach, and we had us a little condo down there where we stayed a couple nights. And that's pretty much what she likes to do, is go to the beach. And then she let me come across here and go fishing over at Crescent, which isn't but an hour away from Daytona. So, you know, we get along pretty good.
Y'all do. I will say she takes care of Big Mac.
that's the truth.
And that's what all the grandbabies call Michael is Big Mac.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know where they got the name from.
I don't know. If Michael Anthony Karen, Mac. Big Mac. I don't know. I've been trying to figure that out, but I haven't got it yet.
Well,
But we're going to try it again here in a little while. See if we can't catch some. And wait, the wind's dying down.
We're going to have to wrap it up, Michael.
I don't know. The trees ain't moving anymore.
Keep looking outside. If you see anybody, start snatching them out. Just get up and run. We'll cover for you.
Well, we had about a quarter mile from the lake at his house.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Y'all are just in close proximity to the lake.
Right.
Good. Well, have you been thinking about anything? I know you were working up to going on your trip and preparation, but have you been anything on your mind? Because, you know, 2 weeks ago almost, when you and David did the podcast without me, y'all thought that it might be the last one. And I kind of think that it's probably the best one. The topic of discussion was spot on.
Just something that's been hitting me here lately is that there was a topic brought up during that show that needs a lot more discussion, or it needs to be practiced a little more by a lot of folks. Hey, y'all hear our neighbors?
Yeah. Part of them.
That was a golf cart that sounds like a like a go-kart that Ken would have built.
It sounded like the Datsun B210 that Uncle Terry used to drive to work. I could hear it from our house all the way to Laertes Crossing. And no muffler.
Anyway, the topic that I think needs to be practiced a lot more, by myself included, was the one about cutting people off.
Right. And giving other people the chance to say what it is they're trying to say. Because sometimes when we cut them off, it's like I just did to Michael. You just jump in and cut them off because you feel like you know what they're going to say, but we really don't know what they're going to say until they say it, right?
That's right.
You realize that this on the air when we're doing this is a bad topic because we get to the point where we start staring at one another, scared we're cutting somebody off.
And I don't think Michael's talking necessarily about the podcast.
No. But he's talking about that's Elijah. What's in the back of our mind.
I do agree with that.
No, it's definitely in daily activities, in daily conversations. Not so much on this podcast. It we're trying to fill the air up on or the recording up on this thing. So whoever talks. But you know, there's just so many times that people you having a conversation with somebody and you trying to say what it is that's on your heart, and then you get cut off before you can say it, and the conversation goes in a different direction, and you totally missed out on something.
Right.
That's right. And I think in the last week, I'm grateful that you brought it up because it's made me watch myself in cutting people off.
And I think most people know when we're doing these podcasts, when we're, I'd say preaching or coming up with anything, we're talking to whenever I'm getting on to somebody, I'm looking at me in the mirror. That's who I'm. So I don't want anybody outside of this to think what they're talking about me. No, we're talking about us three.
Yeah, weird.
And it's true with society. People need to stop and listen to what's going on around them. You know, the old saying is you got two ears and one mouth. Well, you need to listen And we really do. We need to listen to those that are close to us and those that are not. Not to be swayed by anybody, but just that helps you relate to them, mm-hmm. to get more of their story. And it's also doing what the Bible tells us to do.
Right. It's building relationship. I think part of the problem with what we call relationship today is it's distant. It doesn't take, you know, the character of Christ where he was with people. And a lot of times, if we're not sensitive to people, we turn them away from us. And then how can we interact with people if we're not making it available?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what, you know, when I look at the Gospels where Christ was walking and talking, that's what he was doing. He was listening to the needs of the people, and then he would interact, and then miracles happen from that. So, you know, listening is a huge part of ministry, and we have to make it a part of our daily walk instead of trying to always have the answer.
Right. That podcast that me and Michael had, we've talked about people watching us, and I don't know that that'll ever, I don't know if that'll, if the Lord wants that to happen, it'll happen, right? But it'll be the Lord if it does That's happen, right. I'll say that. The thing is, me and Michael had not talked about anything going into that at all, and the same scriptures were on both of our minds and our hearts. And you know, when we say our prayer before we start, you know, a lot of times we come in here without I've even said I don't have anything to talk about, right, but then we ask the Holy Spirit to come in. And he does. That's the thing about the Holy Spirit. If you ask for the Holy Spirit's there. And it seems so easy, you know. I had a friend that lost a parent, and we were in casual conversation. We were talking about it. I'm checking on them, make sure that they're doing all right. And they made the comment, well, I know where they are, and I'm okay with that. But right behind that, they said, I won't make it there. Okay?
Hmm.
And that broke my heart. Because, well, who says you won't make it there, right? I mean, you.
You got a chance to make it there.
And all you have to do is accept it.
Right.
And me and Michael touched on, if you believe, that's all you have to do is believe. Well, he believes that his parent made it to heaven. But he's not believing, seeing that. I don't think he believes on one hand, but on the other hand, he doesn't think he's worthy of it. And that's what breaks my heart, is Jesus died for him.
That's right.
Right?
Yep. Yeah.
Just like he died for his parent, he died for him.
Yeah.
And me and you and Michael and Dixie and everybody out there, he died for everybody. And if you believe, then why not? You know, Say that's how easy it is.
And that goes back to my thought, is that the church has got it so wrong.
And somebody, I mean, I agree that somebody somewhere has
put
crossed it up in his head that he can't. That maybe he's done something so bad that he can't. But that's not true. That's not what the word says.
No.
That's not what Jesus Christ said.
And I think that's where when we read, we use the scriptures out of context a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
But where it's talking about faith like a mustard seed, I really think it's talking about faith in our eternal salvation, not can I win this ball game, the day-to-day stuff. When you start talking to people that are hurting, they're willing to talk to us about stuff. They're willing to say stuff that when you really start thinking about it, it's kind of perplexing to us that somebody would say, I believe that my parent is in heaven, but I don't know that I'll ever make it there. For us, that's like, wait a second, what? this doesn't even make sense. But then if we can get people to understand, wait a second, all you have to have is the faith, a small amount of faith, and say, I believe that Christ went to the cross for me. And if you can get to that point, then it's going to grow.
And I think the church puts so much more stress on on Christians that all right, well, okay, so you've done that, so now you've got to do this, and then you're going to have to do this, and then you're going to have to do the next thing.
That's religion.
Okay.
Yeah.
But if you truly turn your heart over to Jesus and you turn your soul over to Jesus, you're going to automatically change. Yeah, I mean, it takes some work, but you're going to have a new outlook on things.
Yeah,
that's right.
And he'll do the changing on the inside for you.
He will do the changes. That's right.
That's right. It's not about us making the changes. We just got to want the change. Right. If we want the change, he will make it happen from the inside out.
Yeah,
that's what he wants to do. And a lot of times when you're talking to people, it's like they're scared that Jesus doesn't want to do a work in them. I don't know why, but that is what really, to me, is the significance of Christ's death, is he wants to do that work in you. He wants to change you from the inside out. He doesn't want you to come to him and say, hey, I'm cleaned up, I'm ready.
I also see it from the exact opposite side of that too. There's some people that are scared that he will do a work through them and they don't want to be that person, that guy, or that woman.
That example.
Yeah.
Right. They feel like they're not worthy of it.
Right.
Right? Not that they don't want the work or, the God.
He will not he won't put anything on your back you cannot handle.
No.
Without his help.
Right.
That's right.
Well, I mean, that's just when he builds you up, he builds you up testing you and making sure that you can handle things before he puts you through it.
That's right. Like Jackson and them football players, they lift weights, right? If he just jumped out there and tried to bench press 400 pounds, he would be unsuccessful, right?
Right.
So how does he get up to 400 pounds? Well, he starts light and he has to work and keep adding. And, that's how Jesus will do with us. It's a relationship between you and Jesus. And as you walk, he will, there'll be things that come along, good and bad. We're going to be tempted. We're going to go through trials. I mean, Jesus was tempted. Whenever he walked the face of the earth, he didn't give in.
No.
Right? But he was tempted. And the thing is, he knows we're going to fail. He knows we're going to have times where we're not going to, we're going to give in. He knows that. And I think people think, well, if I turn it over to him, I have to be perfect. I can't do anything else ever again.
Well, there's a difference between living in sin and sinning. And that's where the faith aspect comes in. If you have faith in Christ, you daily walk and you're trying to follow his path. Therefore, you're not living in sin. Yeah, you're going to stumble. You're going to have hiccups, you know. And he just wants to assure us that as long as we don't depend on our life in sin, we depend on him, then we have a promise. But we have to have that deep-rooted faith that he is the answer to all that we have in question.
Right. Yep. All right, so we haven't gave too much of a farm update in a while. Do you want to tell us what's going on the farm?
Well, on the one side, we've got two hogs that are they've rested their last time, and we'll be picking up the meat on them in about 3 weeks. And we're hoping that the big sow is going to have some little ones. She's big as a barn, but...
If she's got any little ones, she's holding on to them right now.
Right.
I don't know.
Or we just miscalculated everything.
I don't know.
So, we're waiting on that. David has got some crops planted.
Yeah, we've got potatoes, taters, to those of you from around Blackshear. They're big as golf balls, so we'll be digging taters pretty soon. Snap beans they're being a little bit slow for some reason this year. We've got some corn laid by. Do you understand what that means, laid by? Because I bet a lot of people don't know what that means. That's what Grandpa used to call corn when you put the side dressing, you pull a little dirt to the middles, plow out the weeds, and you got all of the fertilizer. Everything's there. It's kind of like being tucked in at night to go to bed.
That's right.
So the old timers would say we laid the corn by. That means it's there. It's in God's hands at that point.
Yeah.
All it needs then is rain. Some of it, we're to that point. So now we knew we needed a little bit of rain. That would help us out. We've got a pile of things planted now. I don't even know how many varieties of peas we have, but we have a bunch. Jeffers helped me a good bit, and he likes all peas evidently, because that's what we keep getting. Just any new variety is what we keep getting.
How is Jeffers?
I
know he wasn't doing very well. You know, he was weak this week or this past week, and
he's at the end, and in this, you know, what he's going through right now, they told him going up into it. They said the last couple of weeks is going to be the worst. And he's got six more treatments. And it's he needs our prayers. And we did this morning in church service. We prayed for Michael. I went and saw him this morning, and he's pretty weak, but, you know, like I told him, I said, six more treatments, man, and it's done. It's over. So we're still praying for him.
Yep.
Okay.
But he helped me. Like I said, he helped me one day at the farm this week, and he probably overdid it. So he's been really, really sore, really hurting right at the end of this week. And he worked really hard pointing. That's about all he did. He rode the gator with me a little bit. But that, I don't know. I want to plant a bunch of watermelons and cantaloupes. I think that's probably the last. I still haven't set out any tomatoes and peppers, because while I can grow some things really well, tomatoes are my kryptonite. I don't know. I have friends that can grow beautiful tomatoes. I can't.
Okay.
But I'm going to try again. I just haven't got enough nerve up to do it.
We might need to keep doing a little more research on some ways we can maybe get a little different result.
You got to baby them nowadays, and that's the part of it. You know, I can plant, I can plow, I can fertilize, but I can't do it every day.
Right, right.
That's the thing with the tomatoes nowadays. You have to baby them.
Nope.
Yeah. Well, is there anything else you want to talk about?
I don't have anything.
Michael, I'm good. That's about all I had.
Okay.
Well, I won't. Called me, woke me up. So.
Oh, man. You didn't tell me I woke you up. I'm sorry about that.
That's why Dixie answered the phone earlier.
Okay.
Well, you'll catch some fish this afternoon, I'm believing. You can catch a bunch of them.
Yeah. We praying that we can catch some fish for the fish fry.
Well, I wanted to read 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. We've read it many times, and we'll probably read it many more times. As long as we have a podcast, we'll probably read it. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. Keeps no record of wrongs. Does not delight in evil. Rejoices with the truth. Always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. And love is Jesus. And if there's anybody out there that needs love, you can call us, any of us. My phone number is 912-670-4285. And I'll answer it if anybody calls ever. And I know these other guys will too.
Oh, yeah.
But Jesus is love. Our God is love. And everything I said a while ago is what our God is. And that's why the world hates him.
I see it.
But. All right, we'll wrap it up.
Dear Lord, we just thank you for this time we got together. We shared. We just pray that you would use this to your glory. We pray that if it's for one person that we get on here each week, that one person will come to you. We just ask you to keep growing us, strengthening us, and showing us how to love each other better. Like Michael shared, listening more. We just ask you to give us a safe week. Protect Michael and Dixie as they come home. And while they're fishing, We pray for blessings over them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.